and I represent Ridge Haven Camp Conference Retreat Center here in Brevard. Thank you for the many, many years of love and care and ministry you have given and continue to give to Ridge Haven. Our summer staff, our counselors and CSIs talk about the delicious meals you've helped provide for them during the summer and other good ministries you have and continue to offer. Again, thank you. We have great respect and appreciate for you of Cornerstone here in Brevard, and we welcome those of you listening by radio to us today. We're thankful for you, and may Christ minister to you by radio and to you who are present. My wife and I have great respect for the Silman family. We've known Dr. Silman and his dear wife for almost 50 years in college. My wife was in school with them in Augusta, Georgia, back in high school. So we have great respect and appreciation for the Silmans and your ministry here and your ministry throughout the world, throughout the nations, with your taking the gospel, the good news of Christ, to other people. What an encouragement, even hearing announced today of your $23,000+ already committed to Faith Promise, taking the gospel, the good news of Christ, outside of ourselves to those others for whom Jesus says we're to go into all the nations, to all peoples. So thank you, Cornerstone, for helping make this possible. What is a truth that Satan, the devil, wants you to know, believe, and tell others? What is a truth that Satan, the devil, who is real, he wants us to know something, to believe it, and to share it with others? A truth that Satan, the devil, who is real, wants us to know, to believe it, and to say to others is this truth: Satan, the devil, is more powerful and stronger than we are in ourselves. When we're left to ourselves, Jesus says of those outside of Him, outside of Christ, you are of your father, the devil. The Bible makes it very clear that we are enslaved to Satan outside of ourselves. And Satan wants us to know that and to believe it, and to live frightened and scared because he is stronger than we are. We're weaker than he is, left to ourselves. That is a truth Christ wants us to know, to believe, and live frightened. But there's another truth that he does not want us to know. Satan does not want us to believe, and certainly not share to others. And that truth is this: Christ, Jesus, God-man, is stronger and more powerful than Satan, and Satan has been defeated and disarmed at the cross of Jesus Christ. That is a truth that Satan does not want us to know. That he's been defeated, according to Colossians, and disarmed at the cross of Christ. And we're going to see that in the scripture today. As our good friend George has announced, Pastor Reverend Cameron Anderson was to speak today in Pastor Dr. Seelman's absence, but Cameron is contracted with COVID. He's not sick, but he is in quarantine, and so I have the privilege of filling in for Cameron, who was to serve for Dr. Silman. But this truth that we are weaker than Satan. But Satan, oh, how weak he is before the strength and the sovereignty and the power of Jesus Christ. I want us to see this from Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1, we're going to see who we are apart from Christ. A picture of who all of us are, not in this exact way, but in a similar way, our weakness before Satan's strength left to ourselves. Mark chapter 5, the first 5 verses. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains. But he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Here is a picture of a man before Christ met him. This is an unusual man. This man is living in the cemetery. He's living among the tombs. Dr. Luke tells us that this man was unclothed. And this man lives up there in the mountains and in the tombs in the cemetery. And he would cut himself with stones. He was a wild, demonic-possessed man. And the people at times often had come to him and tried to tame him. And they'd put shackles on him. And they'd put chains on him. But he would break them as if they were nothing. Crying out, cutting himself, day and night. That's who he was before Christ met him. And immediately as Jesus has crossed the water, immediately it says as Jesus steps out of the boat, this wild demonic man begins running toward Jesus and falling down before Christ. Ask this, says this, he knew that Jesus was the Son of the Most High. So here he is, he's running, he falls down before Jesus, before Jesus converted him. Now, let's see what happens. But then, this is who he was before, but then something happens. It's a wonderful story, a true story. Verse 6, follow please. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him and cries out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged, means the man began begging Jesus earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs. Let us enter them." And so he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. Before this man met Christ, possessed by demons, wild, supernatural strength and power. But then he sees Jesus. And Jesus meets him. And this man, stronger, possessed by Satan, Satan stronger than him, begins running and falls down before Christ. And look again and hear him, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" This man recognized the power, the authority, the strength of Jesus Christ. And this man is weakened before the strength and sovereignty of Christ. "I beg you," he's pleading with Christ, "don't torment me. You have the power. You have the strength. You're God. Don't torment me. What is your name?" "My name is Legion, for we are many." We are many demons inside this man. I don't know, but I understand. The word legion often referred to a legion of Roman soldiers. And I understand that for Roman soldiers, a legion meant 6,000. I don't know what that means. But we know this man is possessed by many demons. That's what they say of themselves. And we know something has happened to about 2,000 pigs. How many legions, how many demons are in this man? I don't know. 2,000? Enough to go into every pig, about 6,000, referring to a legion of soldiers? I don't know. But we do know, on the authority of Scripture, this man is possessed by many demons who control him. But these demons bow under the authority of the sovereign God, Jesus Christ. So that's who he was before. He lived in torment. He lived in pain and agony under the control of Satan. But then Jesus begins changing him. Now let's see what happens to this man. Wonderfully confronted and changed by the mercy of Jesus Christ. Let's see. Verse 14 and following. 14 and following. "My name is Legion. We're many, begging, don't send us out of the country. Send us into these pigs." Jesus gives the demons the authority to enter into these almost 2,000 pigs. The pigs are now possessed by these demons, and they run to the cliff. They go into the water and they are drowned. The power of Christ. Now, verse 14. What about the men who were taking care of those pigs? Look at their reaction.
Verse 14. The herdsmen fled. They're running. They're scared. They run and they tell it in the city. They go back to the country. They go back where people know them. And they came to see what has happened. What are you telling us? We want to see it. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion. You remember? Unclothed, screaming in the mountains day and night, breaking shackles and chains. This wild man, look at him now. He's seated there. He's in his right mind. And they are afraid. He's seated. He's clothed. He's calm. He has peace. And now the people are afraid of him because of what has happened. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. We'll tell you, this is what happened. We were taking care of our pigs. This Jesus delivered this man from his demons. Those demons went into our pigs. Our pigs ran to the cliff. They went into the water and they drowned. That's what happened. And people are talking about it. And then the people who had seen and heard what had happened. Verse 17. They, the people, began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Leave us alone. We don't want you. We've not seen anything like this. We can paraphrase. Leave us alone. Go. We don't want you. Begging Jesus, verse 17, begging him to depart from their region. Jesus, verse 18, he's getting into the boat. He's leaving them. But the man who had been possessed with demons, now he begins begging Jesus. Jesus, I want to be with you. I want to go with you. Jesus says, no. No. You can't go with me. Go back home. Go to your friends. Go to those who know you. Verse 19. And tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Isn't that great? The people are begging Jesus, leave us alone, go. We don't want you around in our region. And here, the man who had experienced the great mercy of Christ is also begging to go with Jesus. No, there's something else for you to do. Go back to those who know you and tell them two things. Tell them what has happened to you, as I paraphrase. Go and tell them what has happened to you and how the Lord has had mercy on you. The Lord has had mercy. You who are with us, you by radio, what is mercy? Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. That's mercy. Grace is receiving God's favor
that we do not deserve. That's grace. Receiving God's grace that we do not deserve. Mercy is not receiving God's judgment and punishment and wrath that we deserve. And that's what Jesus is saying to this man. You've received mercy. You have received what you do not deserve. You've experienced a spiritual awakening. You have been rescued spiritually from the family and dominance and strength of Satan, the devil, and his demons. You've received mercy. But not only spiritually, but remember, mentally, he's got a clear mind. He's at peace, he's seated, he's clothed. He wants to be with Jesus. May I ask you, do you have a story of experiencing God's mercy? I feel very, very confident most of us here have. But I must ask, as Dr. Sillman would ask, do you have a story of experiencing God's mercy? Are you trusting, are you worshiping Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, and not giving you what you deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve eternal punishment. We deserve to live in Satan's family forever and ever. That's what we deserve. And it's mercy that comes to us and births us into the family and gives us a desire to love Christ, to follow Christ. That's mercy. None of us earn mercy. None of us deserve. Do you have a story? If you do, individually and as the church family, as you of Cornerstone are doing, you're going to others and you're saying to them, let us tell you what Christ has done for us. Let us tell you throughout the nations and to neighbors around us in Brevard and to the nations with your missionaries. Go and tell of the mercy of Jesus Christ in not giving us what we deserve. Do you have a story of who you were before Christ came to you? Do you have a story of telling others what Christ has done for you? For some of you, it's probably a long process, if you have a story, of how Christ gradually awakened you to your need of Him. That's true of my wife. My wife would like to be with us today, but she's babysitting in Atlanta, Georgia. We have 5 children, 10 grandchildren, and she's with 3 of our grandchildren this weekend. For her, it was gradual, seeing her need of Christ. For me, I was in college, thinking I was a believer, studying for the ministry, studying to be a preacher. And I was lost spiritually. And a friend shared with me John 15:16, where Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that you go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. I was studying for the ministry, and I wasn't even a Christian. And the Holy Spirit used John 15:16 to awaken me. You, Jesus says, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. And I saw myself for the first time as a real sinner. Deserving hell.
deserving God's judgment. And the Holy Spirit enabled me and persuaded me, effectually called me, to begin that process that even being a preacher is not good enough. It's Christ and Christ only. Stayed in school, then went into the military, then back to school and finished. Do you have a story? Thank you, Cornerstone, for your years of faithful ministry right here where you are. And to the ministry of Ridgehaven, and to ministries throughout the world through your ministries, through your missionaries. Go and tell what God has done for you. How He has had mercy on you. That's the application, because it comes from Christ. May Christ continue using you powerfully, wonderfully, to tell of the mercy in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we want to shout, we want to sing, we want to applaud Christ. His deity, His humanity, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His mercy in not treating us as we deserve. Father, any who are listening who are not yet yours, will you breathe life into them and birth them into the family? And with all of those who are yours, may we go and powerfully tell of what Christ has done for us, how He has mercy upon those you give to Him. May we repent of our sin and believe on Christ to the praise, Father, to the praise of your glorious, glorious grace in Christ. Amen.